Let there be peace among us, and let us not be part of our own or another's oppression. I know we are 2 weeks away from the season of Advent, but this morning I would like to offer an excerpt by the Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman's poem, "I Will Light Candles This Christmas." When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. Let's face it, it was indeed a stressful week, and we have all been merchandised. We have all fallen under the umbrella of political advertising as a massive business. At Impact, a research firm forecast that $9.7 billion was spent merchandising candidates. In the words of my clergy colleague, the Reverend Jane Oason, if you have that much money, you need to build up the life of an unhoused person. I admit, I fell into the merchandise trap myself. I found new Twitter pages to give me the most up-to-date election results as cable and local stations were taking too long to post the results. I went to bed on Tuesday night uneasy and on edge and woke up to NPR election results. And for a moment, before I engaged in my morning meditation, I slipped into a place of smugness. As I said to myself that all things had indeed worked out to my satisfaction, as if I had any control of the outcome. After my morning meditation, I was called out of my place of smugness to a stark reality that it wasn't about winners or losers. It was something larger than my self-centeredness. I was then confronted with the news of another shooting death in Boston. Another person gunned down, or as my friend Mickey says, another young man picked off by violence. Called out of my comfortable and smug place, that place where I had to sit in the space of having words and also having no words. That place where all I have to offer myself is a ministry of presence, a ministry of my hugs, and a ministry of my tears. A place where old school lyrics of the Temptations have new meaning. People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because the color of their skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for eye, a tooth for tooth, vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation, it's a ball of confusion. There's a lot to take hold of here. And if I was really, really honest in the core of my being, I had gone back to that understanding of God that I had when I was a child. You know that God, the one you treat as genie God or Santa Claus God, the God that gives you the one thing that you want, that one thing, that one toy, that one job, that one partner that you wanted. And we are always disappointed by Genie and Santa Claus God. What I got reflected back to me was the God of love and compassion. But Genie, Santa Claus God, allows me to be in a place of smugness and entitlement that the work of God's hand in the world can sort of be done on my time, or to use a Massachusetts expression, yeah, yeah, yeah. What I heard instead was that the struggle is still real, that I cannot take for granted that the gains for civil and social rights for everyone are an indefinite given, that people who I do and don't know are deeply hurt and wounded in ways I can't begin to imagine. And I don't get to be so uppity and self-righteous that I can't ignore them because they don't think or behave like me. Yes, racism is real, homophobia is real, and the disdain for the other is real. But this is not the first time for this kind of rodeo. All I have to do is read scripture and talk to my elders. If you want a dose of reality, call an African-American woman over the age of 80. My mother will be happy to talk to you, and I will give you her phone number after the service. Our section of Luke is at the beginning of Jesus' long speech to his disciples. It is a speech to insiders, those who trust Jesus and seek to endure to the church. By the time this gospel was written, Luke's church knew, as we do, that many of those predictions had come true. Jerusalem had fallen, the temple had been destroyed, and there were earthquakes and famines. Luke tells us that the disciples were admiring the temple. The temple represented extraordinary beauty, a symbol of the presence and glory of God, and something that was thought to be indestructible. But how wrong they were in thinking that the building would last forever. Jesus, echoing the prophet, said to them, "Not one stone will be left upon another, all will be thrown down." "When will this be?" they asked. "What are the signs we should be looking for?" Jesus did not mince his words as he responded with a description of the future in troubling terms. The temple that they and the people of Israel so admired so much would fall, which it did in 70 AD. There will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. And Jesus goes on to tell his disciples that they will suffer and even be put to death. As Jesus tells them all of this, the implications are stark. Then the disciples ask what we ourselves would ask. Are there signs? Is anyone going to give us a warning? Jesus, do you have any idea of when? There is no timetable given to this list of woes, but Jesus provides throughout the 21st chapter a series of negative and positive instructions. In our section, we get this list of negatives. Do not be misled. Do not follow them, the false claims to messiahship. Do not panic. Do not prepare your defense beforehand. It is clear from this list that preoccupation with end-of-time scenarios is not a place that the believer should operate from. Both in our day as well as Jesus' day, we are called to exercise the characteristics of patience and discernment. As he moves further along in his speech, Jesus said it will be impossible to miss the real events as they unfold. Some events will be opportunities for personal and corporate witness. Others will simply call for long-suffering and hope. Just as we cannot prepare a timetable and check off events and know when to anticipate the end, so we ought not to spend time and anxiety thinking about the future. So, are we left with any spark of hope for a way forward? Luke's Jesus does offer constructive works to his disciples as well. These positive instructions and/or promises provide the core of this passage and of Luke's gospel as a whole. This group includes, this will be your opportunity to testify and witness. I myself will give you such words and wisdom, which all those opposed to you cannot resist or refute. Not a hair on your head will be lost, and by standing firm, you will win yourselves life. This positive spin on what appears to be insurmountable difficulties that may be experienced by the hearer gives an opportunity to bear witness to the amazing power of God's love. These abundant opportunities are also illustrated in Acts, in the stories of Stephen, Acts 7, Peter and Cornelius, Acts 10, Paul in Malta in Acts 28, to name a few. Paul speaks in his letters to the Philippians that even while he is in prison, he bears witness to empower those who are reading his letters. The opportunity to witness fearlessly was a theme that significantly shaped the early church. Because this opportunity was likely to be given, Jesus' promise that he would himself provide the words of witness remove the focus from individual preparation. How many times in our lives we have just been told, hang in there. I don't know about you, but no one says to me, hang in there, when life is all chocolate and roses. We tend to offer this lifeline of love and compassion to others where the road they are walking is rocky and unsure, trusting that all things in God's reign are working together for the good. Every generation has seen its own calamity and signs and wondered if we were living in the last days, and we are no different. The times are indeed puzzling and troubling, and fill in the blank add to the hype telling gloom and doom as they give their own spin on why they think the end is near. Yes, nations have risen up against one another. There have been earthquakes, tornadoes, and tsunamis, violations of human rights here and abroad. We have felt its own tremors and its cloak of invisibility that has been chipped away, and we have felt it before. But we don't have to hear news that spans the globe to know that the world is in chaos and that what seems sure is on shaky ground. The loss of a loved one, a job, finances, a friendship, a marriage, or even illness can feel like it brings our temple, our fortress, our walls crumbling down around our feet. Instead of being terrorized and unsettled, Jesus assures us, as he tells us, by your endurance you will gain your souls. Endure. And not only endure, but live. Things will happen, but all is not lost. And that is good news in the light of today's sobering gospel. And we do not get to go it alone. For we are assured of the promise of our Savior that our God watches over us so that not a hair on our head will perish. God is watching out for each and every one of us, so do not despair, but trust in God. The prophet Isaiah paints a promising picture in the first lesson. God said, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. So be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For Luke, there are more important things for a Christian community to consider than the end of times. The end has always been delayed past several points and still continues to be delayed in our lifetime. Luke's gospel provides a way for the community to understand itself as earthbound for the long haul, and the community now has to set some guidelines in place for their life together. This passage, along with verses 34 through 36, show us the earthly heart of the church and the early heart of the church. We live by the promise that we will win life by trusting in the words of Jesus. This is one of the major themes in our reading this morning. The disciples have heard from Jesus that standing firm in the faith includes the bearing of mature fruit. It is the heart of the vocation of the church to remind us of the promises, both of the winning of life and that God's reign will draw near. It is also the church's vocation to hold before us those behaviors that we might call mature fruit. It is both the job of the church and its individual members to keep alert in our day-to-day existence of the glimpse of that promise. If we think about it each day, we are given glimpses, both large and small, something as small and mundane as the expression of good morning from a stranger, to something so extraordinary that it can only be explained as the hand of God. God has not abandoned the world. God has not abandoned the people of the United States. God is still with us, giving each of us the opportunity to bear witness to God's reign, which is now and will be for all eternity. God's reign has no end. God's reign has no political affiliation, and this bears repeating. God has no political affiliation. God will not crumble with time or succumb to the elements like the great pyramids or colosseums, and no other human being will ever be able to take it away. Jesus himself says in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your God. God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your God is perfect." We do not know, however, that we are not to live our lives in fear and despair, waiting for the end, but we are to live in the constant hope and with endurance, all the while building up the reign of God. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. Let us, through our Lord Jesus Christ, unravel together our spiritual ball of confusion. Amen.